Hello and welcome back to Black Girl Dior. It has been a minute, y'all. I haven't made a podcast since I think the end of 2022, which is about a year and a half ago now. February 2024, Black History Month, and I have just been feeling so inspired. I just left a restaurant called Kitchen Cray, which is in Washington, D.C., with one of my besties, Abby, and it is a Black-owned restaurant, Cajun influence. We also went to a Black bookstore after called Mahogany Books, and it was just such a Black experience. And right before we left, I actually opened my copy of the Renaissance, Beyonce Renaissance, of course, tour lookbook from the concert, which I went to in June of 2023. And I have not opened it till today, February 2024, Black History Month. And I've just been thinking so much about Beyonce because you know me, you know I love Beyonce. I'm not a huge fan of parasocial relationships in any way, shape, or form. However, with Beyonce, she's mother. Like, I love her. I really just connect to her on a very deep level. And her work ethic, okay? As a fellow Virgo, okay? As a fellow Virgo, I connect to all Virgo women. Like, all Virgo women in general, in the media that are prominent, Zendaya, Kiki Palmer, Beyonce, I connect to all of them because the Virgo work ethic, you know Virgo, you know what I'm talking about. It is like no other in the zodiac. We have crazy work ethic, we have crazy manifestation, and we're very creative people. I feel like a lot of people don't know that, they don't give us credit for that, but Virgos are very creative and we are very good at executing things and seeing things in a very different way. So with Beyonce and her new country era, I've loved it so much. By the way, I saw Beyonce in Poland, Warsaw, Poland, in June of 2023. So that's where I got the lookbook. I don't know if they have different lookbooks across the country, but that experience was one like no other. That is a podcast for another day. But I loved every bit of it. I felt like I was in a trance, like the best kind of trance I could be in. So when I opened her lookbook today, I of course flashed back to that moment. I was with one of my best friends, Angelica, my sister. We were having such a wonderful time. We traveled all across Poland before we came to Warsaw, which is the capital city. Of course, I said I'll save it for another podcast, but I'll give y'all some snippets, tell you about it. And we were in Club Renaissance because the tickets were so much cheaper. So, y'all, Club Renaissance tickets were $400 in Warsaw, Poland, okay? Club Renaissance tickets in the United States were running anywhere from $1,000 to $13,000 from the highest that I heard, which I think was for the Inglewood show. But we paid $400 in Warsaw, Poland, okay? So what we would have paid for Club Renaissance in America, we spent on our trip in Poland. So we went around the entire country, and we had never been to an Eastern European country before. So it was a very enlightening and beautiful experience. We saw so much beauty, ate good food, just our eyes were open. We traveled around the whole country, like learned how to use their public transportation, didn't speak the language. And we ended it with Beyonce, which Beyonce is such a testament to the Black woman and the hard work that we put in and the dominance that we assert on society. Like, we are literally the backbone of society. All Black women can do anything we want to. And one thing about my friends and I, and especially Angelica and I on this trip, is we were like, we're just gonna go to Poland to see Beyonce. Like, it just makes sense. Think smarter, not harder. And we had such a beautiful experience. And of course, the Renaissance era is coined by the cowboy hat. We know Beyonce is from Houston, Texas, okay? And with this new country era, she has really leaned into that. So today, I'm looking through the lookbook and, you know, I see all these cowgirl images and I'm thinking about the visuals that she has not dropped. And I am almost certain that the looks that are in this lookbook are stills from the music video and are going to be the music video. Like, it's a little sneak peek into the music videos, because I know that Renaissance was also an ode to Houston, Renaissance Part 1, because now we have to specify. But I think that the cowgirl imagery is really going to be heavy, even more presently in not only Renaissance Part 2 country, but Renaissance Part 3 rock, because a lot of rock is, of course, derived from the South and Southern music and Southern culture as well, which includes cowboy hats. But as I'm looking through this lookbook, I'm seeing visuals, and I'm like, this is giving 16 carriages, okay? And it just makes me so happy. Beyonce is such a genius. She's such a genius. And the visuals in this book, listen, I don't know where on the internet you can find them. I'll probably post them on my personal page at Mackenzie Galloway, like 4 months from now, maybe even more than that. But the visuals are insane. And it is very clearly visuals that are going to be in her music video. And you have to see them. And on a very personal note, I had sort of an Uncle Johnny figure in my life. I didn't know him very well, but I had an Uncle Johnny figure, and I was looking through visuals, and one of the visuals, my favorite one that I've seen so far, because I have not finished looking through it, but it's Beyonce, and she is posed as a showgirl on the cover of, like, a poster, and it says summer 2023, and it is titled Heated, like the name of the party is Heated, or the name of the show, and it has her in this, like, snake reminiscent, like bull reminiscent costume that's black, and like the horns come up, and she's got her hands in the air and a triangle above her, and I think it's at the Uncle Johnny Club. Like, it's just very reminiscent of Uncle Johnny and a showgirl from the 1920s, like Josephine Baker-esque. It's just her mind. And it reminded me of my Uncle Robert, because he used to design dresses, and he lives in Washington, D.C., / Alexandria, which is where I live now. And he loves fashion, just like me. I love fashion, just like Beyonce, just like Uncle Johnny. Like, I just love Beyonce, y'all. Like, my connection to her as a Virgo is so deep and so just, she's that girl. She's someone who I look up to. She's definitely the person who I look up the most to, outside of obviously like my family and people who I actually know and love and care about. But I love and care about Beyonce too as a fan. No parasocial relationship with her. Like, I know I do not know the woman, but her music and her art, just her artistry, because it goes way beyond the music. She really speaks to us through it, and I reciprocate that energy. I take in that energy, that beautiful energy. I love Beyonce. I love Beyonce, and I cannot wait, y'all, especially the rock era. Like, I love country, you know. I play a little Life is a Highway, a little Carrie Underwood, you know. I'm not a heavy country listener, like old time Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana. Like, I bump those. Like, I've been saying 16 carriages is like the climb, and Texas Hold'em is like Hold Down, Throw Down. I was a huge Miley Cyrus fan back in the day, y'all, and still am, honestly. I love that girl. And I always use that analogy, Texas Hold'em, Hold Down, Throw Down, 16 carriages, the climb. When people try to compare them, I'm like, there really is no comparison. Like, Hold Down, Throw Down, we all knew and loved Hold Down, Throw Down, and we had a line dance to it and everything. But the climb was also a huge hit. It was a ballad, it was beautiful, the visuals of it, same with Hold Down, Throw Down. And I cannot wait until Beyonce has that impact too. The thing about Beyonce that I also really heavily related to, and if you follow me on Instagram and you know me in real life, you know this to be true. One of the biggest things that I'm recognized with or known for by my friends is literally going somewhere on vacation, because I love to travel, and then posting about it like 8 months later. And then people who don't really know me or see me all the time, they're like, oh my gosh, are you in Indonesia right now? I'm like, girl, that was last April, like April 2023. I didn't actually go there April 2023, but gotta keep the audience on y'all's toes, you know. But yeah, I'm always traveling, and I always post about it like way months later, and always just doing things and posting it about it months later. Like just recently, I had a really big movie premiere here in DC. I premiered two short films that I did: Infused Tea from the Motherland and Love Doesn't Equal Healthy Relationship. Go check those out. You can just Google them. It'll come up on IMDb, and I will be putting them online in the near future. You can't watch them, but if you want the link, just hit me up and I will happily send it to you. And those films, we had a big premiere. Shout out to all the people who attended and supported, and I premiered the films. And yeah, Instagram and social media aren't gonna know about that for months, even though I did post to promote it a little bit. You know how social media is. Like, when they really see it is when they really see it. So Beyonce is, she has those same tendencies, right? She does things months in advance and doesn't release it or promote it until later. And Virgos, we have a tendency of doing that. Making huge moves in silent. In silent or to our select few, of course. And only giving hints and morsels to the public. And everyone is always wondering, like, how do you all do it? Like, what's your work ethic? Part of the work ethic and the energy to do it is moving in silence, you know? It's really being in your bag, not just showing it off, but really doing it. Like, saying, this is what I want to do, and making it your goal. Like, don't let anything stop you, you know? If you have a project or a vision that you want to create, and you believe in it, and you believe in yourself, get up every morning and do it. Stop making excuses. Shout out to Troye Sivan because he made a video called We All Have the Same 24 Hours in the Day as Beyonce. And that is one of the videos that changed my life. Even though I love Beyonce and I follow Beyonce and I know about her work ethic and her calculative moves, that podcast or that YouTube video per se just really delved into how we all have the 24 hours that Beyonce has and how she does so much and we can all do that. Like, I really felt that in my spirit because people are always asking me, how do you do so much? How do you get so much done? I wake up at 5 a.m. every day. You know, I don't always just scroll on my phone. I try to decrease my screen time as much as possible and put that energy and that time into things that I know needs to get done. I make lists of things that I need to do. I say I want to do something and I do it. And Beyonce has that work ethic, and she moves in silence. You only see her when she wants you to see her. It's me to my core, y'all. Like, it's how I move, and it's how I'm able to get so much done, and how I'm able to live out my dreams. And to have a figure like that, especially now in 2024, Abby and I earlier talked out at lunch about, because she's a teacher, how we, and I'm a Girl Scout troop leader, talking about how the kids are so much more knowledgeable of Black history, and kids these days are so much more comfortable in their Blackness, how we have so many more Black books and TV shows and icons, you know, as media and reach has expanded, and how Black impact and Black wealth and Black prosperity has expanded as we're sitting in this Black-owned restaurant around wealthy and not just wealthy and material, because I don't subscribe to capitalism and materialism and these fallacies of life. I mean Black wealth inside and out, right? We are our ancestors' wildest dreams, literally, by people living in their truth, creating these spaces where Black people of all classes, right, of all backgrounds can thrive. It's so special, and Beyonce does that. She gives us a voice, y'all. Beyonce is the queen of the world. Like, name someone more famous than Beyonce. Not Taylor Swift. Beyonce. She's that girl. Nobody is on her level. No one. She is of this generation. Like, she is Michael Jackson of this generation, right? Like, Michael Jackson, nobody was like Michael Jackson. His influence, it's all about influence.
you know, the way that you're able to inspire. Think about all the genres that Beyonce has done, all the genres of music, every genre of music. I remember I saw this TikTok and this person was explaining the genres of music that Beyonce did and was playing the songs in the back. I was like I knew Beyonce did a lot of genres, but I was like, there is not a genre that Beyonce has not covered. There were genres on that list I had never heard of before, and I was like, oh, okay, she did that too. Like, whatever she does, she's gonna do it well. And she's a country girl. This country album's gonna go crazy, y'all. Like, the way that I feel when I hear Life is a Highway is how I know I'm gonna feel when I hear this album. Because Daddy's Lessons, that song, like, as someone who's not from the South, but has very heavy roots in the South, my family comes from Alabama, Mississippi, I spend a lot of time down there, and I really connect to the culture and the history, especially Memphis. Something about Memphis I really, really love. And I haven't been to Houston before, but one day soon. And I love what Beyonce has done for Black people, Black music, Black media, just Blackness. And the world, like the diaspora. And I think about how country music, rock music, dance music are all Black genres and have been taken from us, truthfully. I mean, we are still present in those genres, of course, but even though we created them, they're not seen as Black genres, right? Like, if you're Black, you know, you listen, if you're Black and you listen to rock or country or anything that wasn't the standard quote-unquote Black genre, you were called being too white or having a white taste in music, or, you know, it was always equated to whiteness, country, dance, rock. And Beyonce is changing that. And again, of course, we have the artists that are in these genres and that even try to be in these genres and are isolated, so don't continue to work in those genres, like Lil Nas X with his Old Town Road, which, by the way, Beyonce and Lil Nas collab on Renaissance Part 2. Oh, yeah. She's such a genius, and I cannot wait. She's reclaiming these genres, and she's been doing these genres for a long time, too. Like, you know, a lot of people, I guess, don't know about Daddy's Lessons. Like, mainstream Beyonce listeners, they don't know about Daddy's Lessons or Hip Hop Star, which is my favorite, one of my favorite rock songs of all time, and one of my favorite Beyonce songs of all time, one of my favorite songs on Dangerously in Love. Like, if you have not heard Hip Hop Star, go run and listen to that song after this podcast. Run and listen to Hip Hop Star by Beyonce. If you want a taste of what Renaissance Part 3 is going to be like, go listen to Hip Hop Star. Oh, that one's going to do me, because I love rock music, okay? Black, let me specify. Black rock music? Like I feel like country, I don't really listen to as much Black country, just because country, while I connect to country, I just haven't yet connected to it in the same way that I have with rock, maybe because I haven't listened to as many Black country artists. And I actually went through, like, I was writing a script that was very centered on rock. So I did a lot of research, which included listening to a lot of Black rock artists. I think that made me love rock even more, because before that, I was really just listening to, like, Paramore, and then Willow Smith. It was actually Willow Smith that even got me thinking about making this, writing this script, because I listened to her album. Of course, I'm a Willow Smith fan. All my Black alt girlies. If you like SZA, if you like 2017 and back SZA, like 2014, 2017 SZA, or even before that, I started listening to her in like 2015 with Consideration by Rihanna. That put me onto her. But if you like that SZA, you will love Willow Smith's music if you haven't listened to it already. It's very, and she has a lot of different genres. She does like R&B, dance, indie, rock. Like, there's something for everyone in her music, I think. But the rock music I really connected with, because it's very reminiscent of Paramore. And, like, all Black people love Paramore, as we know. So it inspired me to write this script. So I did so much research on Black rock and Black rock artists. And I learned about so many. And
rock music is so prevalent in Black culture, and we do rock so well. Like, we, in every era too, like rock music from the 80s, rock music from the 90s, early 2000s, the present day, all of it is so good. Like, go ahead, you know you want it, you know you want it, like you just, like, not me singing on the podcast. But I just love Black rock, and that album is gonna hit. It's gonna hit crazy. The country one is too, and I'm really excited to see how she fuses her own twist on the country genre, just because I haven't really connected to Black country yet. I think that this will definitely be the gateway to that, especially because it comes out so soon. I was like, if it was coming out September, I'd be like, I'm gonna take my time and listen to some Black rock, Black country music, and do a bunch of research. But it's coming out like a month, so I'm gonna let Beyonce introduce me to it and then put myself on. By the way, one of T.I.'s sons, I forget his name, but he also makes really, really good country music. And yes, I just, y'all, I have said this a billion times, but I love Beyonce and her artistry. It just inspires me so much. Like, when Beyonce does things, it makes me feel even better about what I, like, it reaffirms who I am and what I do and how I move. Especially with, like, the moving in silence and no one knows what I'm doing and I just drop things, like, eons later. It's like, I just love that. And I love, Beyonce inspires me. I see all the things that she does and I'm like, I can do that too. Like, no excuses, no excuses. I'm a Virgo. I have that same drive. I have that same energy. I have that same, this is the word that I cannot, that I could not say earlier, calculativeness. And I could be pronouncing that wrong. But she's calculative. I'm calculative. And she's real. She's real, and I just aspire to have that same success in the work that I am doing and will continue to do when I am of Beyonce's age. I know I will. I mean, looking at her reminds me that it is possible and that I will continue to do it. I don't want to be famous, y'all. Don't get me wrong on that. I don't aspire to be famous on the level that Beyonce is. I just aspire to have that level of success within the things that I want to do and my own success. But I'm just so excited for what the future holds in my life and Beyonce and how those two are always working in tangent. I just feel so connected to her all the time, and I've been on this theory since day one, y'all. The whole dance country rock thing, that was one of the theories that came out with Three Acts, and I have ridden that wave. And you know, as time has progressed, people have been like, no, I don't think so, you know, like, there's so many other theories have come about and people sort of let that one go, but I have stood by her side, okay, because I wanted it, and it's here, and I could not be happier. I'm so excited to see Black people continue to reclaim what is ours, to continue to empower each other. I feel like we had an era in the 2010s of, like, Black trauma and focusing on Black trauma and Black pain and Black suffering and Black, then it kind of transformed into Black healing, even with Black Panther. Like, think about it, Black Panther was so iconic, and it really gave us a gateway into Black empowerment and the gift. This is what I will end the podcast with, because this is one of Beyonce's most revolutionary things that she's ever done in her career, and I think it really catapulted her career in a way that we don't talk about enough. Okay, we don't talk enough about Beyonce in her Lion King era, and I don't like that, because she ate that era up. Okay, so a little background about me. I'm from Detroit, went to school in Washington, D.C., and it was a culture shock when I got here, because I am so used to being around Black Americans, and predominantly Black Americans. When I got to Washington, D.C., most of the Black people that I was around were African or Caribbean, or just of the diaspora, because, you know, we exist on every continent. And I was just so shocked. Like, I was flabbergasted, for lack of better words. No, because flabbergasted is a great word. And it was just such a culture shock. I learned so much about African culture and history and music. And I feel like around that same time, you know, is when Black Panther came out in 2018, and Black empowerment was just at the forefront of everything. You know, we had seen the Black Lives Matter movement. We were learning about Afrofuturism. We're learning about Afrobeats. Because coming to Washington, D.C. was my first introduction to Afrobeats, but I feel like Beyonce and The Gift the album, a lot of people didn't listen to it at first. They really only listened to Brown Skin Girl, and that was a really popular song, but they didn't really tap into it outside of that, I think, because we were still in a phase where, because, you know, Black Americans, we set the trends, and Black Americans were not as receptive to the gift just because we hadn't really been exposed to Afrobeats, and it was kind of like, it was Beyonce's project, but it was like not promoted, and it was kind of like the Lion King soundtrack, so, and Beyonce is not on every song, and you know, there are all these different factors as to why people might not have listened to it, especially because the movie was, it was a commercial success, but it was a flop. It was a flop. Like, I love Beyonce, I love Childish Gambino, but, and I love Disney, and I love the Lion King, my favorite movie. Like, anyone asked me what's my favorite movie, The Lion King, shout out to Joe, my cousin, may he rest in peace and power, it was also his favorite movie, and I was so excited for the live action remake, I had hope. By the way, I'm excited for Avatar, February 22nd, but I had hope for The Lion King, and I was disappointed, even with Beyonce and Childish Gambino, but when I heard The Gift, when it came out, because I listened to it when it came out, right? Not when Black is King came out and everyone started listening to it then. I listened to it when it was out and I tried to put everyone on. I was like, why is no one listening to this? This is like the best album ever. And when Black is King came out, people were like, oh. But I still don't think it got musically the sort of recognition and the praise that Beyonce's other albums have gotten. It's almost, it's like the forgotten child. But it introduced the Black Americans to Afrobeats in a way that had not been done before. With Wakanda and the Black Panther introducing a lot of Black Americans to African culture, making it more mainstream, introducing not just Black Americans, but the world, but I'm talking about Black Americans here, because it did introduce the world to Afrofuturism, which is a whole other topic for another day that we will discuss, but also Black Americans to Afrofuturism. And like I said, Black Americans' influence is the foundation of influence in the world, okay? And for us to finally join forces with our African and Pan-African and African diaspora brothers and sisters and others, our power. When I'm wanting my power, my power, my power. If you don't know, that's a song from The Gift, My Power. Like, Beyonce opened that album with Bigger. You're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. Bigger than you. Bigger than me. Bigger than the picture they paint us to see. Legacy. Y'all. Beyonce took us to church. To church. Okay? She's gonna have a gospel album one day, too. Just watch. Renaissance Part 4, question mark? I don't know, but I think gospel is gonna have a resurgence, because I feel like gospel, like our parents' generation, I'm 24, so my parents' generation and their grandparents, but especially our parents, I feel like really love gospel music, because I feel like gospel was at its peak when our parents were sort of coming of age and had a lot of influence on society. But we're gonna have a resurgence. Just y'all wait. When like we transition to more of the 2010s era of things, because we're still in like the early 2000s era of society, because you know society like repeats itself every 20 years, and how they're saying 2024 is just like 2004. I mean, stuff like that is real. It's astrological. It's written in the stars. And we'll see a resurgence of gospel, because The Gift was really a gift. Like, when she called it The Gift, she knew what she was doing. She gifted us. And if you know, you know. If you accepted The Gift, you accepted The Gift. Because The Gift is truly a gift, y'all. If you have not listened to The Gift, go run and listen to that too. Hip Hop Star and The Gift. Like, there's so many Afrobeats artists that she put us onto that I didn't even realize I was being put onto until later, when I kind of saw them come more into the limelight and I went back and I was like, oh wait, that's so-and-so. Because you know, when you're taking in so much information at once, like I'm listening to all these new artists and maybe I don't think they were as big yet, so she also put them on. And then going back and listening later is like, whoa. But The Gift, and then it's visuals. I mean, the visuals we could talk about all day, and that element of Afrofuturism. And although, can't wait for Solange to come out with new music. Love her too. because she's also an Afrofuturist in a totally different way than Beyonce, which again could be another conversation for another day. Y'all let me know what you want to hear. But Beyonce and her influence and all the things that she has done and will continue to do for the world, but especially Black people in the diaspora and Afrofuturism. Afrofuturism is up, and as an Afrofuturist, I am so excited and happy to be a part of this and to continue to grow in this. I love Afrofuturism, y'all, and I love that Beyonce is like being the propeller of it on a mass scale with Renaissance. Especially Renaissance was like so Afrofuturist and so gay, like it's just so beautiful. Like, Beyonce is a genius. She is just the queen. there's no words to describe her power except for the words of this 30-minute podcast. And I hope you all enjoyed this talk about Beyonce and her power. We all have the same 24 hours as Beyonce. How Beyonce is the queen of the world, the queen of the universe, because Afrofuturism. I also saw a show, I forget the name of it, but Disney's coming out with it, and it's an Afrofuturist TV show animated for children, but I will be watching it. Reminiscent of like a Garnet and Steven's universe, in terms of like where she probably comes from, like where she grew up, you know? It's like a Garnet origin story. That's what it was giving me. And I think it's based in a Nigeria futuristic city. And they're also coming out with a Disney movie based on a book by Tony Adeyemi. And it's called Children of Blood and Bone. And it is also West African based mythology and fantasy. And ooh, y'all, Afrofuturism is up. We're up. Black people are up. Stay empowered. Stay Black. Happy Black History Month. I jumped to Iceland, by the way, and I think I am going to do something with that for the cover of this podcast, because me being in Iceland also felt very Afrofuturistic. Like, I opened up Black History Month, I think on the first or second day, and it was a picture of my brother and I standing in front of a huge waterfall in Iceland, and the caption was, "Happy Black History Month from Black people in Iceland." And the picture before that, I think I posted in January, and it was me meditating on the edge of a cliff. You know, these are like white people things, right? Going to Iceland, being in the cold, meditating on the edge of a cliff, even just being on the edge of a cliff. I felt the whitest I had ever felt in my entire life. Like, listening to country and rock didn't make me feel white. That did in Iceland. So standing on the edge of a cliff, that felt very white. But it's Black. Black people can do things like that too. Black people can live freely and travel to places that are typically only traveled to by non-Black demographics or white demographics. We have the power to do whatever we want, and we cannot let stereotypes and things bog us down. Unlearn, empower, and energize. Happy Black History Month, and thank you for tuning in.